Welcome to the Wander Well Living podcast, where we explore the highs and lows of life and the intricate spaces in between. In that vein, we talk to inspiring individuals about their path through life's complexities. I'm your host, Shaka Smith, and today we're talking to two inspiring individuals about going past June and amplifying voices in the LGBTQIA+ community, especially for corporations as they deal with partnerships of creators of various kinds. First up, we have Ruba Wilson, whose career has spanned TV, internet, and journalism, Emmy winner as well, who amplifies diversity and inclusion on his platform. Welcome, Ruba Wilson.
Hi, everyone.
So glad to have you. Next up, we have Sam Collins, one of the most influential names on YouTube, who went from comedy and story times to documenting with an open and authentic voice his transition and his experiences as a transgender man. Welcome, Sam Collins. Woo!
Hey.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. Oh my gosh, it's June. What a month it's been. How has June been for both of you?
Honestly, this has been such an amazing month for me, just in general, to be able to, you know, go to VidCon and shoot all the content that I've been shooting and meeting so many amazing creators. I kid you not, anytime that I'm around like-minded individuals, it's so inspiring, and it motivates me to keep going, because as you guys can all attest, creating content is not an easy task, especially consistently. So it's just been great. I'm vibing. I'm loving myself. I'm loving life. It's just, I'm in a space of gratitude right now, for nice. Sure.
Nice, nice. I went to, I think it was my second Pride ever. My second Pride ever, and it was really cool. I had a bunch of friends, a bunch of trans guys, and they basically had like this booth, and they set up a brand for themselves. This kid has his own brand. And so I got to meet so many different trans creators for the first time, and it was really, really nice. It was great to see, and it was in Boston.
Oh, okay,
so it was
nice.
The big Boston Pride Parade. Yeah, and it felt comfy.
Yes.
Like, no judging, none of that stuff, so it's really cool.
Well, of course, June is the month for it. Happy Pride, you know, towards the end, but still June. Now, but, you know, we're here to talk about going beyond June and amplifying LGBTQIA+ voices, a little bit of a mouthful, year-round. I want to know, what has been your experience in June with your corporate partnerships and your experience after June? Have you noticed a change in these years?
To be honest, I haven't, and I'm thankful that I haven't really experienced it. It hasn't been like, oh my God, it's June, so here are all the, you know, opportunities and sponsorships. It hasn't really been like that. It's been relatively consistent, and once again, I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jesus, Joseph, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, all of them. But yeah, I really haven't seen it, but I'm aware of how it's like, oh my God, it's June. All the corporations like, we need you, and then June is over, and they're like, wait, Mom, do you need a ride to the airport? Like, you know, it's a mess, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah, how about you, yeah. Sam?
They'll just change their icon back to the... I don't think I've really noticed anything either, like specifically in Pride Month with brands reaching out or whatever, but I've worked with a couple of brands who actually incorporated me being trans into their products, which is cool, like all year round.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was that experience like, having that brand use that part of your voice and then continue to do so?
I think it's amazing. Because I worked with like a couple of like adult store companies and stuff, and they really want to get that word out there. Like, hey, like even if you're LGBT, like this is stuff that you can use and be comfortable with. And they've always been really, really awesome and really nice.
Yeah. Did you find that it had to take a certain type of brand, or that was something you could approach with any sort of partnership that you have?
And it was actually multiple brands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they were all really cool.
Okay, wow.
Like sex positive and all that stuff. Yeah, it's cool.
Great. How about yourself, Ruba? Has your voice been used in a way to amplify a brand sort of DEI voice?
Yes, absolutely. I just signed with L'Oreal, and I do a lot of Man on the Streets content. And the first thing that they said to my management, they were like, yo, we want Ruba to be Ruba. Like, let him do whatever he wants. Don't try to give him notes. Because I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, especially in the digital space. They will give you a laundry list of things that you cannot say. These are the questions that you will ask, and that's that. And you must abide by it. It's either you do it or you move on, you know? So for L'Oreal, I'm so thankful to have worked with them because they literally allowed me to be as ridiculous, moan, daddy, come get it, all of that. Like, they loved it. And I think that's so important because as an audience, as viewers, we can automatically tell when it's just, okay, they took this for a check. You know what I mean? And I think that separates authentic content opposed to we're just trying to sell you something. So yes, I have definitely been able to incorporate my voice through L'Oreal, and I'm so thankful. It's been a really good time, for sure.
Yeah, so you guys have had overwhelmingly positive experiences in that space.
Yeah.
What do you think attributed to that? Was it the way you vetted the companies you're working with? And if that was it, how did you go about doing that?
Do you want to take this, Sam?
you can go first.
For me, I'm an Aries. I'm very headstrong. I know what I want, and I'm so thankful that I'm not in a position where I feel like I need something. I'm like, yo, it's either you take me or you leave me. You know. So I think through working with management, they all understand. We're all on the same accord. And for all of the influencers who are out there and they're still trying to figure it out and they're working with managers, I think it's so important to make sure that everybody sees the vision, mm-hmm. that they get it. Because if your team gets the vision, guess what? You're unstoppable, truly. So yeah, I hope I answered the question. I really do.
What?
Repeat
it one more time.
The overwhelmingly positive experience you've had, was that due to vetting the company, or was that due to some other aspect that led you to that situation where you had companies work with you that have been inclusive and have been doing this all year round? Because a lot of times people don't find these companies, and how did you get to that point?
Right. Whenever I work with a brand, they should they know my content, and there have been brands where they're like, we just want you to be yourself. You know, just want you to be yourself, yeah. Promote the product how you would. But then there are companies that have lists like that. But most of the time, when they reach out, they know what they're getting themselves into because I share a lot of trans content and LGBT content and stuff like that. So they've been pretty good about that. Pretty good about that.
So as creators, I guess sharing yourself kind of informs the brand as to what they're getting beforehand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How did you? I know you made a shift from just doing regular comedy and story time, so then actually sharing your real life experience, how did you make that conscious decision? And then did you know that, at least from a corporate standpoint, that would actually be a positive thing?
I had no idea from a corporate standpoint, actually, because I made content, just comedy, stuff like that, just me being me. I was really scared to come out online because it's just scary, in general. And once I came out as a trans man, basically, everything took off. Everything took off. Then there started to be brands that reach out to me that were actually more in the beginning. It was more LGBT brands. Like there was these bracelets or books and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, whoa, this is really new because I didn't have that many subscribers. And then all of a sudden, it's like as soon as it came out as trends, there was like, hey, do you want to do this? You want to do this? I was like, yeah, of course.
And even in the community, there's different fields of thought, right? How do you judge which company you are going to work with and if they're going to represent your voice in particular in the way you want it represented?
I like to do my research because I've worked with companies who are, I've looked at their other sponsorships and I'm like, so all right, so you work with that guy who's kind of against me as a person, but then you want to work with me, so you're kind of playing all, the whole field right here. So I'm not going to work with you because I don't really like what you're representing on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had any experiences like that, Ruba, where you've worked with a company that's all about you, but they maybe worked with other people that you felt didn't align with your interests so fundamentally that it was confusing, or?
No, I've never experienced that, thank God, I guess. I haven't been faced with anything close to that. once again, I think brands already know what I'm about, and they ain't going to try. They're going to come with it.
You had something to add?
Nah. I don't think so.
How have you guys, I guess, promoted diversity and inclusion in your own content expansively, just beyond sort of your identity?
I'm going to say this. Once again, if you guys haven't noticed, I'm as gay and as black as can be. And, you know, I'm so thankful that we're in this space where we can connect with people from Africa to Brazil, wherever in the world. I get so many messages on IG, like, you know, people hitting me up like, oh, my God, thank you so much for being you. It allowed me to be a little bit more free in, you know, the way that I maneuver in my life. And, you know, as much as I would like to say, when I do my content, it's like the 14-year-old girl in me that's just like thriving, that's just having so much fun. So I just believe that that is my way of incorporating who I am and what I stand for. I'm all about like love and having fun and just not taking yourself too seriously. Because once upon a time, I was that guy like, oh my God, sit like this, speak like that. Like it just was a mess and nobody can keep that up. That's draining. So I definitely believe that I infuse who I am and what I want to put out in the world, for sure.
Yeah, and with being trans, because it's, you know, you got LGBTQ+, I've had people leave comments on my videos and stuff like that, because I also make content revolving all of it, not just trans. Like, I'll react to memes or talk about issues that are ongoing with the whole LGBT community, and then, you know, I'll read comments like, hey, you know, you just being yourself on your platform has made me comfortable with being lesbian or with being a gay man or bisexual or anything like that. So it's a whole entire thing. It's not just trans people. I'm like, wow, you know, just showing yourself being yourself will make other people comfortable, and that's something I wish I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So
true.
I love that you guys are doing that for other people. And I feel for a long time, it felt, you know, obviously there wasn't really equality, but it was moving in the right direction. But recently we had this whole Bud Light controversy with Dylan Mulvaney. And, you know, we've seen, you know, this boycott actually lead to, you know, an actual impact at Bud Light. What do you say to corporations that may be skittish now to take on partnerships? And what do you feel the right response for a corporation is when they get that sort of backlash to a partnership?
Own it. At the end of the day, like, there are so many gay people in the world. There's so many black people in the world. There's so many different ethnicities all around. So no matter what you're doing as a brand, y'all need to stand firm on that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it's ridiculous what's happening with Bud Light. It's actually kind of comical to me. I'm like, yo, are y'all really like shooting beer cans? Like, you guys are exposing yourselves. I feel like the people who talk down on a community, it's like, yo, you must really like this, but you're just trying to prove to the world that you're not about it. Yeah. You're telling on yourself. So all y'all need to stop and put down the beer cans. Thank you and good night.
It's so dramatic. It's like, are you got a transgender woman promoting Bud Light? Is that the end of the world?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to cry about it?
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I think it's great to promote diversity in any form with any brand.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be, you know, just the standard whatever. It should be diverse.
And how do you advise a corporation now in light of that?
Basically just own it. Like, if you're going to do it, if you're going to go out and you're going to say, hey, Dylan Mulvaney, you want to promote Bud Light? And then there's going to be some type of backlash because people don't agree with LGBTQ. It's like, you promoted this, you had her promote it, so at the end of the day, I think it's doing great.
Yeah.
They should give her a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh,
everybody,
yeah.
Everybody will be up in arms.
Oh, yeah.
They will be, they're like, burn down the town.
Yeah.
And how do you, in light of this, I think that might also have a chilling effect on certain creators, and maybe even on that kid that did want to come out seeing something like that happen. How do you talk to that person?
That's a tough one because we're so privileged to live here in LA. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I go around thinking like, oh my God, the rest of the world is just like LA and they're so accepting. And that's not the case. And I know it's scary. Sometimes you have to remove yourself out of environments. And the best bit of advice I would give young people, if they're old enough, move. You know what I mean? Try. I know that may sound extreme, but I think that's best. You know, because these, you know, middle of nowhere places, it can be really toxic and not helpful towards, you know, anyone's mental state. So yeah, just try to change your environment in some way possible. Find your tribe. Yeah. You know, even if you can't, yeah. you know, move, find your tribe some way, somehow, and still know who you are at the end of the day and stand firm on that.
Yeah. Can you repeat that just one more time? Thank you so much.
If you're the creator of the kid who has had a chilling experience because of seeing this happen to Dylan Mulvaney. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that's scary for the kids.
Yeah.
That would be scary. Like, that's one of the reasons I didn't come out, because I was like, oh, everyone's going to judge me and they're going to think that I'm this, like, weird person or whatever. You just got to keep being yourself, and it doesn't matter what other people are saying about you or think about you or anything like that. You got to put yourself first and love yourself first, because this is who you are. It's not like you're choosing to do all of this stuff. It's just, you know, that's going to come along with that, but that's history. And we've seen through history, like, something will be hated, something will be rioted against, but we rise above it. So as you keep portraying this in media, you know, it's just going to get better. So you just have to keep pushing through and thinking positive.
Was there a turning point for you when you were able to make that change? And, like, what was that moment where you said, I have to put myself first and put myself out there?
Oh, yeah, like when I first transitioned?
Yeah, and decided to share it with the world.
Yeah, well, when I came out when I was a kid, it was my last like resort. I was like, I have to tell my mom, I have to tell my family, because then I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life. And then when I shared it on YouTube, I remember Caitlyn Jenner came out. There was a lot of backlash, actually, against Caitlyn Jenner coming out. And I was like, wow, though, but she came out and she did that and she was brave. So I want to come out to my audience. And I had a smaller audience. I started with 5,000-10,000 followers. And I was just like, you know what? I wish that I had this voice when I was a kid, because I really didn't. And I don't care what people think. I'm just going to say it. And so I did it. And I was so nervous pressing publish. I was terrified. But.
So your motivation was almost doing it for those that were coming behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, have you had, everything's been overwhelmingly positive. Have corporations made missteps with you? And how can they fix them, or, I mean, in general, how can a corporation that made a misstep not make that misstep if they made one with you?
Make sure your team is just aware of just, like, everything. If there's a creator that this corporation wants to work with, make sure everybody and their mother has done their due diligence on who this person is. You know, obviously, mistakes happen, but for the most part, a corporation has enough money, has enough employees to make sure that, you know, you do some sort of research on whoever they are. I feel like it's standard protocol, you know? It's like inviting somebody to your home. You're not going to invite them into your house unless you know that your friend kind of knows them and, you know, there's some sort of history. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it.
Did you have a bad experience with that?
No, I didn't. Thank God. Thank you again. I have not had any sort of terrible experience.
But I've heard. You have heard.
Yeah. I've heard horror stories. But for the most part, no, things have been very, very good. And I want them to stay that way.
Yeah, things have been pretty good for myself, too. I haven't experienced anything like that. I think I brought it up earlier, but there was just this one company that worked with me, and then they worked with someone who went against me. And I was like, okay, so I just won't work with that brand again.
When you say went against you, you mean?
Like, they worked with a channel that is basically like transgender people shouldn't be able to transition and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, you guys just worked with me last year and then you're working with these guys. I was like, okay, I just won't work with them again.
Yeah. And what do you think causes that? Like, because those are two very different messages. How does a corporation even get there?
They want their money.
Yeah.
Or unless they're just, they're just trying to sell their stuff. But it's like, I don't know. Like, you have a reputation. You've just worked with me, and then you've just worked with someone against me. So it's like, confusing, too. Mm.
So what are the things have gone well. So what are the things you look to when you are working with a corporation? What are the boxes that they must tick to work with you? And I guess they've ticked them because you've had good experiences.
Well, first and foremost, the money got to be right. The money got to be money in. You hear me? That's truly how I look at it, first and foremost. Second of all, they have to have a dope track record. They can't be like the brand that you worked with. You know, they want to work with you, and then next, you know, they're working with someone who is completely against what you're about. And they have to allow me to be me. At this point in time in my life and in my career, I'm just not, I'm an Aries. I do not hold my tongue. I say exactly how I feel, and that's that. So you have to allow me to fly, to be free. And for all the creators out there, I think that that should be standard for everyone. Like, yo, this is a cute little standard, you know, verbiage you want me to say, but how about we tweak this and do that? Do not be afraid to, you know, say what you want. You know, please do not, whatever you do, like, I understand, like, the money can be great, but at the same time, don't try to compromise who you are as a person. It's going to go a lot further if you really enforce what you're about and what you stand for. That's really going to go a long way, and other brands are going to see that. Like, yo, I loved how you were you, you know, in this campaign. It really sets a tone. So I think that's really important to keep in mind, for sure.
Yeah, I want to be allowed to be myself and kind of, what's the word for it? Just word it the way that I'd want to word it, because they do give you a list and it's like robotic, and then I know my followers are going to be like, all right, well, that's gross. Kind of, yeah, and I'm like, well, I think if I do it this way, you know, it's gonna push better and people are going to be like, he's actually incorporating that into his content in a natural way as opposed to so robotic. And I definitely look at the reviews and the ratings and see who they've worked with and stuff like that, because I don't want to promote something that's, you know, terrible and has like a 1-star rating, or it just has worked with people who are not who I wouldn't want to also promote with. So yeah, and you don't want to just take anything just for the money.
Yeah.
You can't.
Don't drag me. I feel like I kind of redeemed myself. The money has to be great, but...
It has to be. Yeah, it has to be good. Fair. But then you could, like, promote a brand that's kind of, like, lame. And then they'll be like, oh, well, we'll pay you, like, $1 million.
Well, then, I mean, listen.
Would you take it?
I'll come back to you on that one.
Okay.
Well, speaking about the money, and we talked about the money being right, you want it to be right with your peers. How do you deal with, in an industry where you may not necessarily know what the next person's making, but making sure that you're making on par? Yeah, we already spoke about, you know, sometimes companies promoting, you know, other creators who are on par with you better than they promote you, and is it an issue of race or gender?
Let me tell you this real quick, y'all, and this once again, this is for all of you, all of the creators. Don't be afraid to ask your friends. Like, in a hot second, I will text my friend and be like, yo, I know you just did this campaign. How much did you make? Did you make more than X amount of money? And if they come back to me, they're like, yo, I got paid double. Oh, I'm coming back and be like, well, my friend just did. Or I have my management be like, well, Rupa's like, friend just did this campaign. He got like double. And trust and believe, the brand will come back around and be like, hey, can you do it for this amount? And I'm like, thank you, I sure can. So once again, do not be afraid. We're all in this together, y'all. We really are. Like, these corporations have so much money. They really do. And they're just trying to, you know, nitpick and be like, all right, the black creator, give him this. The Asian creator, give them that. No. That's how I look at it. Do not be afraid to talk about money with your other creator friends. Yeah.
That's a really good idea. I haven't done that.
Facts, baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Be open and authentic with your peers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And also, because these brands are paying creators, because it's cheaper to pay a creator than to actually like promote it on whatever else that they can promote it on. So it's like they think that they can just like get you like that.
Really cut their savings, but you know, this is how we're making a living.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't give me a penny.
Where do you want to see corporations with their initiatives and with amplifying LGBTQ voices in the next 5 to 10 years?
We need to be everywhere, because it's real life. Yeah. It's real life. Like, I look at all of these like ads where I'm seeing, you know, no offense to anybody, but I've always seen a lot of blonde hair, blue-eyed, you know, people. And it would make me as a kid like, oh, my God, do I need to look like that? You know, is this the type of spouse that I should have? And I don't think that's fair for people who don't fully have it fully formed in their minds. Yeah. It just needs to be seen. Like, more people of color need to be on huge billboards. More gay people need to be, you know, more people of the LGBTQIA plus community need to be on these huge ads and commercials, because it's real life. You know, I knew I was gay at the age of 3. You know what I mean? Watching, you know, these Disney movies with the prince and the princess, I couldn't relate. I could not relate. Like, and I didn't feel like they were forcing an agenda on me. I just couldn't relate. I was like, okay, that's cute. Will that ever happen for me? So once again, it just needs to be more of a normalized thing. And that's on what? Period.
Yeah, just showing it year-round, basically, because growing up, all I saw was just, you know, straight white couples, all that stuff, and I was confused because I liked girls from a very young age, and I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess, but I didn't see any of that stuff when I was younger. Yeah. So as we're progressing, I've seen more of it on Netflix and all that stuff, just more shows with, you know, two gay guys or two lesbians, and some trans characters have been on shows too, which, and it's like, it's just starting, you know?
Yeah.
So showing it year-round, showing it in shows, showing that it's real, so when you're younger, you don't feel so alienated because all you're seeing is the same thing.
Preach.
All the time.
Preach.
It didn't change anything about me. So when they talk about, like, indoctrination.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like, I'm still not.
Absolutely.
I still don't like dudes.
I was like, I want to be the girl. I want to be the princess because yeah. She gets the guy. I want to be her.
Yeah. I was like, I want to be the guy. What's going on?
Well, thank you guys so much for just sharing your insights.
Thank you.
We're going to take some questions from the audience. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Don't be shy. It's just us.
We're scary.
Yeah. Oh, let's get your microphone. I'll hand you. I got you.
How y'all doing?
Hi, baby.
Good.
As creators, in the beginning, did you have any anxiety or nervousness presenting yourself to the world? And if so, what were those?
Nope. I was as delusional as possible. I literally thought that I was the guy that's sitting right here. Do you hear me? And that's when I was like 16 years old. I started, you know, hosting at the age of 16. And I was like, you cannot tell me that I'm not an Emmy winner. You cannot tell me that I am not the next host on the MTV Video Music Awards. Like, I just knew it without a shadow of a doubt that I was this person. And I just presented myself that way. And I think that's so important for everyone to move that way. Whoever you are, whoever you want to be that person right now.
Wow. That was really good.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome. I was terrified.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was shaking before, like, publishing my video. And I was like, everyone's going to hate me. I'm going to lose all my subs. And then that absolutely didn't happen. Oh.
Mm. See?
Be more like you. Don't be so scared. It's not that scary. Yes, it is.
But it's worth it. It's
but
like it's literally like jumping out of a plane.
That's
for all the people who are afraid of heights, they're like, oh my god.
That's scary.
It's really not that bad. I promise.
Hi.
So
my question is, what advice do you have for creators that are small, that are trying to build their audience, that's been working on it for probably, you know, a year or two, but just trying to figure it out?
Baby, it's called building a community. Even if you have 1,000 followers, that's amazing. Like, just make sure whatever you're trying to push out to them, that they all rock with that. Do you understand? Like, I think that's a lot of us get so caught up with, like, oh my God, the numbers. If you have a solid community, it could knock out somebody who has 5 million followers. Do you understand? Like, just make sure whatever you're pushing on your social media is something that they all love and that they are all willing to purchase on a daily. You know, that's the best way I can look at it. And don't be afraid to communicate with them. Like, I feel like I see more of my followers more than I see my own family. So don't be afraid to communicate with them. Send them DMs. Like, for me, on a daily, I'll, like, post on my IG story. I'm like, hey, everyone, send me your numbers. I may, like, FaceTime them randomly. Like, I love that kind of stuff. You know, it's really all about building a community. So don't look at your followers like, oh, I've been doing this for a year and I only have, like, 5,000 followers. That's amazing. Imagine if 5,000 people were in this room right now. You'd be like, yo, I done made it. I killed it. You know, it's all about perspective. And that's something that I've really adopted within the last few years. It's all about your perspective. If you look at your followers like, I only have a few followers, like, that's how they're going to treat you. You got to be like, yo, I have a solid ass community. The end.
Yeah. Build that community. When I started, I had, and I still do have, a really strong connection with my followers because I care about them. You know, they're watching me, they're supporting me, they're doing all that stuff. So I always make sure to make them feel like we have this type of connection, because we do. Like, you guys are watching my stuff. And consistency is key. Consistency has always been key. It took me literally, how long have I been doing YouTube? Like, I'm going to just say almost 10 years. It took me 10 years to build up to like 1 million followers. So it was consistency, and it was trial and error. It was like, I was putting out stuff that I didn't like, and I was like, this is going to do numbers. I'm going to put this out. Whatever. It did good, but I didn't like it. And so basically I found my niche as I just continued to go. I just found my niche as I continued to go. Then I like posted stuff that I loved for myself, and my followers really loved it too. And I was like, okay, that works out good. But yeah, being yourself and consistency, I think that's the best thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All set.
Wow. 10 years. 10 years. Y'all hear that? So when people say, oh, 1 million followers, 10 years. That's work. That's consistency. That's grind. None of this is overnight. It looks overnight, but it isn't. And, you know, for these corporations, this is the work that hopefully they're valuing and paying for, and paying at the right amount. The money is right, but also the mindset's right. And I want to thank you guys for coming on and hopefully giving you guys some education, creators and corporations alike, about how to really incorporate these voices that are just voices of humanity into their own voice as well. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Shaka. You're amazing. Thank you for having us.
And where can they find you online, Ruba?
You guys can follow me at Ruba's World on all platforms. I'll see you there.
Sam?
It's Sam Collins on all platforms. You can find me there. Ooh, thank you so much. Thank you.